Australian rules football is the greatest game on earth, but it's not to say it couldn't be better. If only there were two people completely unqualified to talk about it, yet utterly prepared to do so. Two people like that might have some radical ideas. Two people like that might just be the Footy Fixers.
Hello, I'm Charlie Clawson. He is Scott Dooley, and we are here to fix football, whether you like it or not. Episode 4 of the Footy Fixers, and perhaps our most controversial episode coming up right now, as we discuss a rule that has been vexing fans for years. It is the deliberate out-of-bounds rule. Scott, give me your fresh hot take on deliberate out-of-bounds.
Well, I personally love it. Because I love anything that's going to create conversation. And this does. Because this is a classic we was robbed, you know, kind of a... It's purely down to someone else's judgment. And that's why I really like it. The concern I have with it, and I think the heart of the problem and the heart of the contentious nature of this rule, is that it essentially... requires an umpire to psychologically evaluate a player.
Yeah.
At the moment of impact between a ball and 9 times out of 10, someone hitting him. And then from that kind of extrapolate what the guy was thinking and then either penalize or reward him accordingly.
My favorite thing about the deliberate rule, especially being a St Kilda fan over the last 10 years, is often the deliberate decisions that have gone against us has been an umpire saying, well, surely no one could kick that badly. Surely that wasn't intentionally going towards a boundary line. And I'm always like, mate, have you seen the players we've drafted over the last 10 years? We don't have a halfback who can hit a target to save themselves. That is no way. He was trying to center that.
So what I mean, in terms of the solutions, given the kind of the cycle, one thought I did have was, do we require every AFL and AFLW level umpire to have a master's degree in psychology?
Psychology.
So that they can make that assessment from a position of...
Is it a question of psychology or is it a question of the law? Because I think ascertaining intent could fall more into that legal category. So are we saying AFLM and AFLW umpires need to have either a psychology degree or a legal degree? Or can you have a legal degree and then in consultation with a psychologist? Because that would often happen, I imagine. Like when a prosecutor is trying to establish intent, he would bring in a psychologist to analyze the actions performed and whether or not, you know, it was a deliberate action. I feel like what we need to do is when there is a deliberate decision, rather than the umpire making the call, which, as we've established, is you know, really, really hard for them to ascertain intent, is that we go to the ARC, right, and we bring up a High Court judge. And then the umpire has 30 seconds to make their case to the umpire. Then the player or the player's advocate has 30 seconds to mount their defense. And then the judge makes a decision and it all has to happen within 90 seconds.
I love it. So where do you see the player's advocate? Is the player's advocate and would each player have his own advocate or her own advocate? And would they have to be within 2 meters of the player at any given moment? So they're also on the ground?
I don't know. What do you think?
So almost like I'm thinking like Paralympics, where in the blind running, where you have guys connected to one another.
Yeah, right. So you've got a QC running with you.
So you've got a guy, you know, in a suit running next to, you know, Matty Presbyakis for the whole
fuck,
game.
Scott, attack. That is genius. 100%.
Yeah.
Okay. So in addition to the boundary umpires running the lines, you have, per team, you have two QCs, suited briefcase-holding QCs running the boundary line in the event that there is a deliberate decision that they can then quickly mount a defense for.
Yeah, but they've got to be keeping up with the play. So they can't be at any given moment you know, just lagging behind.
No, they've got to keep up with the boundary umpires. It's got to be the same level of fitness.
That's right.
But they've got to do it in a full suit.
That's right. Like, that's true. Could if we are going to go down this legal road, and if we are talking intent, where do you stand on the use of lie detectors?
Well, the issue is, Scott, is we know footy fans do not have patience for reviews that take too long. So, like, how long does it take to hook up a lie detector? Is there some do we hook them up before they hit the field? So each player has kind of like, well, listen, my understanding of lie detectors, firstly, they're inadmissible, which is perfect for this. Like, you know, it doesn't work.
It's ideal.
Perfect.
Tick.
But is it monitors heart rate, right? And so they monitor fluctuations in heart rate, which I imagine when you're monitoring an athlete to detect, you know, variations in sort of like heart rate based on, like, you know, it's like, are you telling a lie? Your heart rate seems to spike. It's like, mate, I just did like repeat 200 meter sprints. That's why my heart rate is doing that.
Yeah. What if we speak to, I don't know, the federal government, the sports minister, you'd probably want a team with the CSIRO to develop new lie detecting technology that is portable and carried along a lot, like with the GPS trackers in the back of the Guernseys.
Yeah.
If we could also attach a lie detector, and each player's jumper is equipped with lights.
Yeah.
And the umpire and the QC, obviously, under the auspice of the High Court judge in the ARC, would ask a series of questions. Excuse me, Mr. Pfeiffer, when you were kicking that ball, were you heading towards the boundary? Like, oh, yeah, of course I was looking. I don't know his name because it's Frio, but, you know, the bloke over there, I was kicking towards him. And then thank you. That's all we need from you, Nat. By the way, can we just have a look at your light? Now, if the red light is flashing, it means he's lied.
Yeah.
And it's an automatic 50-meter penalty from the point of infringement. If the green light happens, it's a free kick to Fremantle where the ball went. I don't know. I'm just kind of spitballing. Or is that too slow?
What I think we should do, Scott, is we'll keep it in the realms of what we're used to in terms of football profession. So, you know, at a tribunal appearance, if it's a striking charge, they'll bring in the biomechanics expert to say, well, that wasn't actually a strike. That person was reaching for the ball and that was collateral damage. What if we bring in body language experts? You know how, like, there's always that kind of, so, okay, you know, they will say, oh, yeah, you can tell by the way, you know, he's folding his arms or his, you know, eyes are darting about that he's not being truthful. And we just agree that is admissible evidence, the body language expert.
Is it, when you say body language expert, is it a real body language expert that could be used as so it's like someone that sees a picture of the Royals and goes, oh, there's trouble in paradise. Look at the way William's standing.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm talking about the new idea, body language expert, not a legitimate CIA-trained negotiator or something. We get the most tokenistic women's magazine,
Royal Watcher.
Yeah, Royal Watcher, body language expert to say that. I mean, what I love about that is that you just don't know, is this person being deceptive or are they just a footballer? Because most footballers find it hard to string words together, maintain eye contact, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yes, yeah. So one thing that concerns me, Charlie, is when you add something new to football or anything in really Australian culture is that people tend to not like it, just that's their first blush. My concern is that if we just throw this in round one, we're going to be met with stiff resistance. I'm wondering if we kind of get it into the Australian psyche earlier, maybe through a marketing campaign, songs. Do we have it appear in various television programs, like on Neighbours? Kind of.
Yeah.
There's an issue at the coffee shop, and Toadie needs to rely on someone, and who we can. Hey, it's Catherine Thompson from the New Idea. She's a body language expert. Let's ask her what she thinks.
I think the answer's right in front of you, mate. It's Mike Brady. Mike Brady needs to come out and write a song about deliberate. Did he mean it? Did he not? Give him the ball. Let him have a shot.
Look at his eyes. Yeah. Look at his eyes. Oh, look, his arms are folded. The umpire said, yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Mike Brady on grand final.
He's shifting around, looking at the ground. Yeah.
What rhymes with deliberate, though? Nothing rhymes with deliberate.
Maybe you wouldn't say deliberate. Maybe he looks calm on the surface, but he did it on purpose. His brow is sweating and now he's nervous. I don't know. What I mean?
This is the first draft. Yeah. Greg Champion.
We're not Mike Brady. We don't know what the hell we're doing.
I mean, I'm sure Mike Brady's like, well, you know what? People are getting pretty sick of One Day in September. I need another bloody cash cow to bust out. So if you could bring out, like, and we don't do it in September. You're right. First game, Wednesday night, it's the grand final rematch, and we bust out Mike Brady. We say, hey, guys, we know there's been a bit of controversy about this new change to the deliberate rule. Let's explain it to you in song, Mike. And then Mike comes out and, yeah.
Bouncing ball on the bouncing big screen ball. With the lyrics. Yeah, so kids can sing along. Mike would obviously have to do a lot of press beforehand. We'd have to get Mike on all the shows.
I mean, why not?
Now, why not a celebrity
judge?
Deliberate ruler, yeah.
Yeah, number one ticket holder from each club. So, like, you know, you get your John Travolta's at Collingwood. you get your Eric Banners at St Kilda. I don't know who the guy from Tame Impala at Frio.
Does it have to be a current? Why can't it be, ladies and gentlemen, the number one ticket holder for Geelong between 1987 and 1994, Daryl Summers. G'day, guys! I was wondering
when we're going to get the hey. It's been four episodes, Scott, and you've not made one Hey Hey It's Saturday reference. I'm so glad you got there in the end.
I felt weird.
let's throw it open to the listeners. Huge numbers of responses to the deliberate rule. Very passionate. At Our Major says, install high acrylic sides all the way to the boundary line to the point post, ice hockey style. The ball will always be in play. No need for deliberate rule. Well, that keeps the game moving. I mean, that's what we want, right? We don't want stops in play. The ball just bounces back in. What do you think of that?
Mm. Where would Richo sit? That's my only concern, really.
Yeah, it's a good point. I guess behind the glass somewhere.
No, I don't like that. No, I don't like that one bit. I need Richo on the ground.
At Bo for Bose says, if the AFL is embracing dancing, why not acting? Keep the rule and encourage clubs to invest in acting lessons. Together with singing the team's song, all players committed to a three-peat must become triple threats. I love that. So you get acting coaches down there. But do you run into some... Because what we haven't discussed is if the player defends, you know, like is defending themselves or the QC is defending the player, and they're found guilty of what is the penalty? It can't just be a free kick. I think that it's almost got to be like the tribunal. An early plea gets you some leniency. But if you decide to test the system.
I'd say, 6 weeks.
I say death penalty. Well, that's really raised the stakes.
Okay. All right. So that's.
We reinstate that's the death penalty in Australia just for the AFL season.
And so that would mean that so at the grand final you'd have the retirees going around and then an in memoriam kind of section where the following players were hanged for kicking the ball out on purpose.
Oh, mate, I tell you what, the skills down at Moradin would improve dramatically, I imagine, if that was the penalty. So at Matt Smolin says, formal grilling to be commenced as soon as the ball goes out of bounds, findings to be then reported to a jury made up of opposition supporters. This process is called the deliberation. Do you think that you can have a jury made up of opposition supporters? Won't they always rule in favour of their team?
Yeah, I think that's where it falls down. But I do like Matt's idea, and it's also probably going to be a pretty slow process. However, what if it's like the... election debates where you've got people kind of turning
the worm. Yeah.
And that makes the decision for you in real time and you kind of choose. And it's kind of treated, it's like jury duty. You know, if you don't do it, you get fined or you could go to jail.
One seat in every row is equipped with a worm dial And so you get like a sample size that can be extrapolated. Oh, a mobile phone, of course. It's fucking 2021. 2022 soon. What am I talking about?
But I mean, maybe at the ground could be interesting. But then you could have people like, you could have kind of tricky clubs putting people in the right spot.
Oh, yeah. Planting the jury. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Jury tampering.
We've got a few answers here, which I love because they actually have nothing to do really with addressing the rule, but one person wants a wood chopping competition. Another person wants just a giant bucket of slime that can be dumped on the players. How that relates to the deliberate out of bounds rule, they don't say. I just love the idea of introducing wood chopping and slime buckets to the football.
Would it give the potential, the kind of mooted Tasmanian team an unfair advantage?
Oh, yes, definitely. 100%. They love a bloody timber mill.
They love a chop. The slime talks to kids, and that excites me because we do have to keep thinking about the next generation. It can't all be procedural courtroom stuff, which appeals to adults.
Yeah, bring in the junior competitions. Start with the slime, Nickelodeon the kids, and then we can see if it translates to
the Oz
levels.
Kick kids. Yeah, get covered in slime if they kick the ball out on purpose, and that would be
fair punishment.
Traumatic life lesson.
At MitchGill8 says, I think the umpires should ask the player directly whether it was a deliberate. And then the footy experts throughout the week, we include ourselves in that, can have their say on whether they were lying when they told the umpire it was accidental. E.g., Kane Corns analysing body language would be prime time viewing. Oh, I would pay to watch half an hour just doing body language analysis. And because he's such a... Because he's such a contrary dude, he would always be going, unless it was a Port Adelaide player, he would always be going against whatever the stance the player was taking. I doubt you would ever see Kane endorsing a player.
So could this be a kind of like a Ross Kemp on gangs kind of a show where during the week it's called Kane Investigates and he finds the most contentious deliberate decision and he replays the thing and he gives his, hello, I'm Kane Corns. Well, I don't need to tell you what this week's episode's about. It's about Jack Steele against Western Bulldogs at Metro, wherever. Yeah. And he's wearing kind of 70s stuff, like a brown leather jacket and flared slacks, maybe.
I love it, yeah. And standing in an alleyway, like police lights flashing behind him.
Exactly right.
Missed for some reason.
And then he goes through and maybe kind of has a chat to, like, Jack's ex-girlfriend and, like, can you tell he was lying? And, you know, that kind of stuff. And
I love it.
Ask people, unsolved kind of digs mystery up a
style.
Bit of dirt.
Yeah.
It solves the mystery. And then, you know, next week we're going to be going through a classic episode. Alan Didak versus Brit. You know, he can go back to solve some cold cases, you know.
I love it.
I think it could work.
At Will Mosley says, on the topic of boundaries, we should be building stadia that are designed to be extended when congestion becomes an issue rather than removing players. Just keep widening and lengthening the playing grounds. I love that. I love that.
I mean, how wide
and how long can they get? Like, suddenly the ground is 4 kilometres wide.
Yeah, and that's now the, you know, was it a close, it was a one-point game, was it a close game? Yeah, it was a 4 kilometre game. They had to spread the ground. That's great.
At Akamada says, this infuriates me. Umpiring the game is hard enough without having to read the players' minds and know what their intentions are when half the time the players wouldn't know themselves. Switch to a free kick against whoever touched it last. Throw in, if not sure, problem solved. Well, Akamada, what do you reckon? Pretty cut and dried.
Oh, I think that's Ray Chamberlain's burner account, if ever I've heard it.
At D0404B says, hashtag love Trump.
What are you worried about? Us getting autism from vaccination? Come on, pal. This isn't the forum.
He's actually got, two needle emoticons in his bio. So I think he is pro-vaccine. Thank God. But he says, white shorts as the away shorts. Get rid of it. White shorts with dark jumpers or dark shorts with light colored jumpers. So I think maybe he had an adverse reaction to the vaccination, which made him think we're talking about a completely different topic.
Out of bounds.
At Nick BPS also wants walls around the ground, bouncy walls for rebounds, full Thunderdome. At GSP says, I love deliberate and insufficient effort and needs to be applied more often, more of it. But if the opposition escort it out and they had the opportunity to keep it in safely, then it's a ball up. The rule is about keeping the game moving. You shouldn't escort a kick out and then get a free kick from it. Whoa, bloody strong opinions from at JSpin.
Hello.
Justin, at Justin of Elwood says, periods of multi-ball. It works with pinball. What do you think of that? Mm. I mean, again, I don't know how that affects deliberate out of bounds.
If anything, it's going to create more deliberate out of bounds.
At Timoth 444 says, WWF lumberjack style, fill the boundary line with each team's list that aren't playing. If the ball comes to them, they have to kick a torp in their team's direction. I love that. So if you didn't make
What's the lumberjack thing?
I do not get the first reference, but what I do understand is the idea.
We're both going to text Will here.
Yeah. Getting players who didn't get selected for the team on the boundary line, and they can.
Yeah.
So they can keep it. So if it's a ground ball, they can gather it and kick it back in. If it's like an out of bounds on the full, you can take a specky of your own teammates. Like you actually sort of collaborate to make sure that you can take a grab. If it doesn't hit the ground,
like
then it's not.
Rugby line out. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. And then I love the idea of a torp, because that's what we're missing in football, is the big torp. So there are players who really don't have skills in any other facility, but they're massive kicks of the ball. So you always got one of those guys on your list. So in that way, it becomes almost like a strategy, doesn't it? Like, yeah, well, let's get the ball. We will head deliberately out of bounds, but we want our non-selected players to get it. Then we want our Ben Graham to kick it like 70 metres in our direction.
What now? Now, I assume the non-playing players are in civvies?
Yes. No, they'll be in like team tracksuit.
Boots? Because I like the idea of someone. Oh, it's
and thongs. You reckon just thongs? Just see how far you can kick it in thongs.
Yeah, because what's the wrinkle here? Because, like, is the player under pressure? Because you give the ball to Ben Graham.
That's what I'm saying. Like, everyone has one Ben Graham. Yeah.
I don't know. I think this might need retooling. I'm not against it. I'm not putting the kibosh on it. I'm just saying that it needs. It needs something because it's looking scruffy. And like, right, just on one side of the ground? Like, where are they?
Yeah, I love that this is like, of all the things we've discussed over four episodes, this is the one that's really, you just called for like, hang on, let's just slow things down and have a real good think about this. We don't want to
be
too impulsive.
Yeah, exactly. This isn't Fiona McDonald choosing the Brownlow medalist. This is serious.
And our final bit of feedback is from at Teacups. Rip out the first 10 rows of seats along each side of the GMHBA stadium and expand the ground by 15 metres, which would force Geelong to train and play their home games in the same size ground as the rest of the competition. Okay, again, people seem to have missed the assignment, but I do love this concept. It might be something to look at in a future episode. Should we keep expanding both the length and the width of football grounds?
Ground dimensions. Yeah. I think ground dimensions seems to be something people are very excited about.
Thank you to everyone who wrote in. If you want to message us, you can at Two Guys One Cup AFL on Twitter and Instagram. We will release our topics on a Monday and Tuesday before we record on a Wednesday. But thank you for all your feedback. We love doing this show. We think we're solving football one issue at a time. But for now, I'm Charlie Clawson.
I'm Scott Dooley. See you later. It's just not a catchy finish.